So I want to begin this topic. You know what the maskana of the shir is. I mean, you sort of know what the maskana of the shir is. The maskana of the shir, of course, is a machlokas arishon. As to what the maskana of HaGemara is, what the maskana of HaSugya is. And the truth is, you were probably surprised to discover that there's a machlokas because it would seem to be pretty partial. You read the Mishnah. The Mishnah was a little bit ambiguous, and then the Gemara presented two tzadim, and the Gemara seemed pretty clear that you either pick, you know, we don't want to be marba machlokas yisra. So the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer agree by one and disagree by the other. The only question is, by which one do they agree and by which one do they disagree? That's really what it boils down to. So they either argue by chutz that everybody agrees that almanas works, or they argue by almanas and everybody agrees that chutz doesn't work. That would appear to be the straightforward reading of the Gemara right at the beginning. You don't have to read through the whole thing. And the Mishnah, obviously, as the Gemara interprets and would seem to be pshat, holds that based on the word Ella, that it's chutz. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, the Braisa holds that it is almanas. Now, it is worth noting, as Ephraim has pointed out, that in the Yushalmi and the Tosefta elsewhere, you don't find any such explicit distinction between almanas and chutz, which has led some to argue, apparently, that this is something of a construction of the Bafta. Now, I don't think that the thought is heretical, but I'm not sure that it's correct. I say it's not heretical because I think I've said it a number of times in Shir already. There are many conceptual approaches to issues in the Mishnah which are not necessarily shot in the Mishnah. And one of the ways you would know that is it's not a new Shalmi. That would be sort of your best, which is not absolute proof, obviously. The argument from silence is not an absolutely compelling one. But there are many examples that you can see. Again, my favorite example is the source for the Machlokas of Shimon's position in Melach HaShen and Tzvich HaLegufa, which if you've ever learned Shabbos, you know quite well, attributed throughout, that Shimon by Chai holds Melach HaShen and Tzvich HaLegufa is Patra Alavasa B'Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda holds at a time. The Bavli finds Rabbi Shimon's position in a particular Mishnah at the, I think it's the end of the 10th, near the end of the 10th parak, 9th or 10th parak, in Shabbos, in someone who's Motzias Ameis, or Kizayis Ben Ameis, and the Bavli understands Rabbi Shimon Shita there. The way they understand Rabbi Shimon, he's arguing on in such a way that indicates that he holds a Melach HaShen Tzvich HaLegufa. But the Yerushalmi reads the Mishnah very differently, and it's clear that Rabbi Shimon doesn't really disagree about Melach HaShen Tzvich HaLegufa. He disagrees about one particular case of the Mishnah for some other reason. So it's clear that the Yerushalmi certainly did not, in no way explicitly talks about Melach HaShen Tzvich HaLegufa. And it's not really, and clearly the Mishnah that the Bavli sees as being the source for Melach HaShen Tzvich HaLegufa, the Rishon Lezion, is understood differently by the Yerushalmi. So it's not a question of right or wrong, but it certainly is a sort of a conceptual approach is in the Bavli of framing the halacha in a certain light, so that not everybody's derech halima went down that path. And certainly in Eretz Yisrael, they don't seem to have always gone down that path. Now, sometimes you will find issues that you look in the Bavli, you think, oh, this looks like a Bavli type issue. Actually, also comes up in the Yerushalmi. But this is a case where it doesn't. There's no explicit distinction between almanas and chutz. The reason why I'm a little hesitant to make such an argument is because you have a braisa, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, which is a Tanaitic source, which is already working with, in other words, the opening part of the Gemara asks the question, what is the Mishnah talking about? So you could say the Mishnah is lal dafka. And in fact, the Ramban, I don't think the Ramban says in Mishnah, but the Ramban says lamaisa. The Ramban says there's no distinction between almanas and chutz, and that the division is across, the machlokas is across the board. But when the Gemara goes and interprets the Mishnah that way, you could say, oh, that's the Gemara read that way. But when you get to the price of the bottom, okay, based on the Malach, where Yosef Rabbi Huda says that everybody agrees that by chutz, samagars the shita chutz, it's no good, and they're only arguing by almanas. So that's very clear. There is a Tana who's distinguishing between chutz and almanas. And while I would say that there is, you know, Chanoch Albeck, Professor Chanoch Albeck, in his book, Mavolo Tamudami, is a small section. I have to find it for you. I want to say it's like page 440 something. I don't know the book that well, but the particular important page or two, where he talks about Bavli Brises, Brises that do not appear to be early, they appear to be late. This, in my opinion, I think there are such things that seemingly that might exist. This does not look like that kind of Brisa. Rather, this really looks like a real Brisa, and I would even argue that to some extent we could debate what Shad is in the Mishnah. Meaning we could argue that the Mishnah is lav dafka, and as the Mishnah is across the board like the Ramban, and the only reason what prompts the Gemara to read the Mishnah the way it does. Ephraim, your thoughts? What might push them? Why does the Gemara? For starters, the word Ella is odd. It's an odd word, no question about it. But the Gemara they could have just said, okay, you divorce your wife, and you leave an exception there without paying any attention to what the formulation is. The Gemara immediately starts out and assumes there's a difference between chutz and amanas, and they want to know which is Ella, and what's the answer. Why does the Gemara assume that there's a distinction between chutz and amanas? I think I've set it up pretty clearly, no? Should we? Because Rav Sarbi Yehuda has such a distinction. Right? You could argue, and the Ramban, I don't think himself makes this argument, because the Gemara says Shanina. The Gemara acknowledges that the Mishnah is Dr. Chutz. The Mishnah is Chutz. I should take care of it. The Mishnah is Chutz. The Gemara does not say the Mishnah is Dr. Chutz. Right? The Mishnah says the word Ella means Chutz. So I guess even for the Gemara, the Ramban never, he sort of, I guess, does make this argument. I could argue Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah isn't really, Ella is neutral. But because of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, the Tana has already discussed in the issue, the Gemara really wants to pin the Mishnah down in one form or another, and it thinks that from a vocabulary perspective, Ella in this context clearly means chutz, and therefore the machlokas of the Mishnah is by chutz. Okay, anyway, bye.
If Ella's on the emphasis of the Bavli, would we
Well, no, because first they have to establish what the word means. Because the word Ella is an odd word, right? No matter what you want to say, even if you want to argue it means chutz, you want to argue it means amanas, you want to argue it can be either, Ella is an odd formulation, which prompts the Gemara to demand, okay, now we know what Ella means. Once we've determined that Ella means chutz, we don't have to ask the question, lema. We just say, masi sa dola keratana. I didn't argue, that's probably pshat in how the Gemara constructs it. Okay, so we don't have to, even though you have to do chazara, we don't need to, let's just read, we don't need to read the proof, read the opening part, Yoni, of the Gemara. Ivayelahu. So possibility one is that the Mishnah is taught as a machlokas of chutz that everybody agrees by amanas. Possibility two is ogilma. Okay. So or it could be that amanasu, and by amanas they argue, but by chutz he is a moda. Now here it's also worth noting that there are really two parts to the statement, which could have been split apart. Question number one is, what does the word mean? Question number two is the Mishnah Dafka. And as you could say, and the Ramban doesn't go so far as to make this argument, but one could have argued it in reading the Gemara. He doesn't say this. He's willing to acknowledge perhaps that the Mishnah, right, that the Mishnah adopts a position of chutz, and by Almanas they would argue. And the Braisa adopts the, they would be Moda. And that the Braisa adopts the opposition, and Rabbi Akiva, for example, adopts neither position. One could argue with the Pshat, but I don't think the Rabban says this, that the Mishnah itself doesn't really adopt any position of Dafka, La Dafka. There's two questions to be answered. Number one, what is the case of the Mishnah? Is it a Chutz or Almanas? But even if you assume it's a Chutz, let's say the Mishnah is a chutz. They argue by chutz. What does that tell you about the machlokas by the din by almanas? The answer is you don't know. Because on the one hand, you could argue, the only one thing, if the Mishnah has a machlokas by chutz, what is the one inference you can draw probably with certainty to almanas?
That if it's
allowed
to be chutz, it's definitely allowed by almanas.
Right, you're correct. And it would be a wrong inference, but nonetheless, that's the logical inference to draw. Right, as Rabbi Eliezer, if he's matir by chutz, he's certainly matir by almanas. The chachamim who asr by chutz, well, they could be asring by almanas also, they could not. Now, if they asr by almanas as well, why did the Mishnah teach us the machlokas by chutz? The answer is lo diach hakocho de Rabbi Eliezer. That even by chutz, Rabbi Eliezer permits. And if the Mishnah were a case of almanas, and Gemara and the Mishnah said that's a machlokas, what would the din be by chutz? Well, again, you don't know. You do know that the Rabbanan's position, almanas, if almanas they don't allow, almost certainly by chutz they wouldn't allow. I'll explain to you why she means not necessarily so. It's a kind of a passing line in the Ramban. But it's possible also that they only told us the machlokas by almanas, even though it's across the board, lo diach hakocha the Rabbanan, even by almanas they ask. Now, which of those two, by the way, would be if you're going to teach us only one of the, if they argue across the board, and here's a way of testing the Ramban's hypothesis, again, he doesn't say in the Mishnah, which of the two cases should you teach the Mishnah by? Whose co-op should you be Modiyah? I think I've given the answer away. You don't think I've given the answer away. Whose co-op should they be Modiyah, Shimon?
I think Rabbi Eliezer.
Why?
I'm not sure, but it feels right.
Because Koach Tetera Adet. That's the principle of Koach Tetera Adet. It doesn't take a great chops to be Machmer. Anybody can progress a Homer. But to be Mako, you have to really be Selmech al Sarasa, you have to be absolutely certain of your position. So if we're going to teach us one of the two positions, even though it's a Hu Adin, they argue by both, this is the logical way to teach it. So even though the Ramban himself doesn't go to the math to say it, I don't think he does. I keep expressing that lack of certainty. But nonetheless, one could have argued that the Gemara makes two statements here. One is, what does the Mishnah's vocabulary word mean? And then, in other words, the Gemara says, Almanas, the first thing the Gemara says, is it chutzu? And, uvachutzu, the plea Rabban of the Rabban, that's Shia Labageta, but Asma Dule. You don't have to, that's a step you don't have to take. If I am. You mean because it's the position of the Rav? Yeah, okay, fine. You can make that position as well. But now you're still saving the Ramban's position that way. You know, is it worth better for the Ramban to say chutz? Because you can say kof ter adet. If the Mishnah had been amanas, I would have said, well, if the Ramban were right, it would have taught you chutz. Should have taught you chutz. You're saying that? If it had taught the other way, you could also defend the Ramban's position. But he would have said kof ter rabin adet. Okay. Fine. So what's the Gemara's maskana? Skip over stuff in the middle. Yoni, and the Gemara's maskana is Ella. 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Okay, Shmami Nachutzu. What did the Gemara not say?
Shimmy?
That
they agree on
Amanat. Shmami Nachutzu. It didn't say that. It just said Shmami Nachutzu. I'm not saying that as my own Kiddush, but the point the Ramban makes. Okay. So now, let's take a look at the Rif. And I think Nisim for pointing out something which is to justify my general position that I do not like punctuators and people who do that. Let me read the Rishonim myself, please, because you get things wrong. And so if we take a look, if you love the Oz Vahadar edition, you just love it, you think it's the greatest thing since the Vilna Shas or sliced bread. And so you open up your Gemara and you read the Rif. He quotes the Mishnah, at least Kitzurasa. He quotes the Gemara, the Ibai, Hay Elachutsu, Almanasu, Chutsu, Vachutsu, the Pligi Rabbanu, Life of Lezer, Vashu, the Begera, Almanasu, Modu, the Bidi, the Havakot, and the Alma, the Odom, Almanasu, Almanasu, the Pali, the Lezer, the Rabbanu, the Chutsu, Modu, the Shia, the Begera. And then you read the last words of the Rif. Upashat, Ravina, that's not in the Gemara. The Gemara is, it will be Ravina, Ravina is the one who says it, but it's not. He does the words Pasha Ravina. The Rif says Pasha Ravina.
So,
is that true?
So he's interpreting the Gemara, but that's not the debate.
Correct. What does the Gemara say?
The Gemara says
in the Rif, which part does the Rif says is actually Gemara actually say?
The
Chutzu. The Gemara just says the Chutzu. Shnami na Chutzu. It doesn't say, and by Almanas Module. But the Rif says, Alpha Ma'amnas Module. Now, the problem, of course, here, as Nissen pointed out, is that if you're going to make it your project to bold the parts of the Rif that the Rif adds in that are not in the Gemara, so you can see what the Rif added, you forgot to bold the words of Almanas Modu. So you read the Rif, and again, you probably, if it were me, I can make you the following promise. Had I not read the Ramban first, and I just read the Rif, I would say, yeah, that's exactly what the Gemara says. I would have not been careful. I'm motivated to that. Okay? But if I'm using the Oz Vahadar, the fact that I would have assumed that the Gemara said exactly that would not even be totally my fault. Because I'll have to come to depend upon the crutch that the Oz Vahadar bolds the parts of the Rif that are not the Gemara's words. So it's extremely misleading. Punctuation and commas can do the same thing. Ephraim.
It's
That's not their view. Their view is, in other words, we know it's always the Shita Sarif, but any words that are found in the Gemara, they print. Things that are additional, they print regularly. Things that are additional, they bold, so that you can see where the Rif is adding to the Gemara. Most of the time, the Rif is not in conflict, he's just adding information. Here he's adding information. If you would ask the Rif, Rav Alfasi, Shlita, does the Rebbe think that those words are in the Gemara? And the Rif would have said, no, they're not in the Gemara, but I think it's Pasha, that's what the Svar is like. I think all the other things I add are Pasha, because that must be the commentary, because I have a tradition from the Gonim.
Yeah, well, here, like, they want to write in shorthand, and everyone ever else will think that, you know, just quoting...
I think this is a printer's error, by the way. I think if you called them up on the phone and said, guys, you see, you missed that, on the next edition, they're going to correct it. I don't think that it can be your longest. I don't think it's a sheet that they have determining when the Rif just thought of. So, question the Gemara is just reading the Gemara as opposed to. I think when the Rif adds stuff, that's their sheet. And the Rif added something, they fell into the same trap that I did. They looked at it, oh, yeah, that's the Gemara. Well, no, it's not the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say, Avo Va'at Lamas Modu'a. And. What's that? That's. Kariana Bigarta Hulave Farvanta. You know what that means? You know where that's from? Gemara in Sanhedrin. Pinchas comes to Moshe. Rashi quotes in Chumash. Pinchas comes to Moshe and says, "Aloli matan rabenu shabal aram special kanan pogema." And Moshe says, "You're correct." And Karyana digata, the person who reads the letter, should be the one to carry it out. Who love it faranda. So. Something called, you know, the World Wide Web. No. Do a Google search. Okay, so just note in the Ram before we go to the Ramban, it wasn't important for you to read the entire Ram, although sometimes reading the Ram will be helpful, as almost reading any other Rishon than the Ramban, because the Ramban is probably the most, maybe a competition with Tosas. The Ramban, certainly of the later Rishon, the Ramban is by far the most difficult to read. He doesn't really sort of spell things out of what he's thinking. And the thing that he wrote so clearly in the Kuntrasdin of the Garmet.
No, I think
it
was a false rumor.
Yeah, that was. I know who told me this. That's the guy would tell him, we just disagree with you. That again, Ramban is genius. It's brilliant, but he still doesn't write so clearly. So we now have no timings against Ramban. It's not that he knew how to do it, but didn't do it much of the time. No, he did this. You know,
he was. Just have lots of issues, but.
He's not as clear in what he writes, because perhaps he assumes that the rest of us are super geniuses like him, and he just didn't really need to spell out his thought process as much. But when you read the Rashba, very often the arguments that the Ramban makes, you read in the Rashba, and when he quotes it, it's much clearer than when you read the original Ramban. So, and since the Rashba, I'm sure he was a Talmud of the Ramban, but the Ramban wasn't his primary Rebbe. Who was the Rashba's primary? It wasn't Ramban. It was Rav Shlomo Menahar, I think. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Tzon, Rabbeinu Yonah. Ramban's Rebbe was Rav Shlomo Menahar, I think. Yes, Rabbeinu Yonah was, if you want to understand the Rashba, by the way, just as a little Bittul Torah, the Rashba was not a rationalist. He was very much anti-rationalist. He was on the ban against studying philosophy at a certain age, all sorts of things like that. The Ramban was really, the Rashba was really the Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ramban is a much more complicated, not in a bad way, very much more complex figure in this respect, Rabbi Yonah, because Ramban was both a Kabbalist and a rational, or a philosopher at the same time. Like he had a foot in both worlds. And obviously he has issues with the cursed Aristotle, but nonetheless, he is grappling with those issues, and he has some of the tendencies of the rationalist in a way that Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, doesn't. So the Rashba is very much a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah in that respect. Okay. So, I think the Ra'ah is really the Talmud of the Ramban. So, okay. So now, the Ram just says at the beginning, he says, "Zel l'shon aritzal umiu begemar lo itzmar v'had dehege elahachim askinen al shlamin yachatz u'shlamin yach." So the Gemara doesn't actually say, "Oh, alman manas modele rabbanan," but the Rif assumes, based upon the first part of the Gemara, that when the Gemara gets to Maskana, it just spoke shorthand. Okay, fair enough. So now, let's take a look at the Ramban. Who would like the unenviable task, Jake, of reading the Ramban? Who do you think would like that task? Or in Kant's Roman nomenclature, this is before your time. The spirit of volunteerism is overwhelming me. Jake. Trial by fire. You know, Dr. Lam, I think, tells the story. I don't think I terrify anybody. But apparently, I think he's that himself who told the story, that the Rav once called him to read in Shir, and the Rav was not happy with the way he read, so he called him every day the rest of the year. But what he got out of that is he really learned to read. Because the truth is, if someone puts a gun to your head and says, read and practice and learn to read, you will do it. So I don't think I'm anywhere near as I don't even remotely terrifying. So I could be wrong, but I don't think so. So let's take a look at the Ramban.
All right.
I won't make you do both, just the first one.
Sure.
Or I'll have you even split it with Shimi, because Shimi is the kind of you, the fact that I was called on you. Go ahead. So I would say Be'inan, I would actually even have said the Hachi Hu Ba'ayon Meikara if I would have changed it. This was the Gemara's original question. And the Gemara said Chutzu Avomas Modu Amanas Uvachutz Modu. So when the Gemara at the end comes and says Chutzu, so just Chutzu, they don't have to, you know, Tana Ki Ruchla Leif Shevelezo. That the Gemara has to spell out the finish the thought, you can fill in the blanks yourself. You can finish the thought, which is what the Ruth did. Okay. The Lo Aminan. We don't say that they argue by both cases. And in fact, what the Ramban is suggesting here, the initial Mashma'us, and you don't have it in yours, but I have the footnotes in mine, says that's how the Rif Paskins, we just saw it, that's how the Rambam Paskins, that's no surprise. The Rush and other Rishonim, and he even points to Tosfos and the Rashba. So it's a pretty long list. So the Ramban says that's what it sounds like. Rahafinami. Stop. You've got to breathe. I forgot to do something. So you're going to be spared for now. You have the place in the Ramban. But, Anisim, can I ask you to. Let's go to the Gemara. Stop. We need to do the Gemara first. If you didn't do the reason I gave you the Gemara Pehei, we'll do the whole Gemara now, but you can't understand the argumentation without actually seeing that Gemara. Theoretically, the methodology. I'm going to state the obvious to you, and I'm sure that virtually none of you do this. And I want to spill a secret. I don't usually do this either, even though I'm able to get away with it more. How do you learn a Tosfos properly? The first thing you do, Brian. Okay, don't be a wise guy. First thing you do is just look in Tosfos, look at all the references that Tosfos quotes, and just look up each Gemara individually without even looking at Tosfos. It requires a kind of, you know, iron-like discipline, which most of us don't have, although it probably actually saves you a lot of time and gets you a much bigger bikinis. I know what most of us do. Most of us will read the Tosfos. Well, I shouldn't say, I speak for myself. I'll read the Tosfos, he'll quote a Gemara. Often I may know the Gemara or think I know the Gemara or know enough of the Gemara and sort of go through. And then sometimes I'm banging my head against the wall and of course I have to go look up the Gemara. Or as I think Rabbi Taubes said in his, it's something like this, he said in his Hesped for my Rebbe, Rabbi Dulitz, who was also his Rebbe, Harini Kaparis Mishkava was also Rabbi Dulitz, Rabbi Taubes' Rebbe. You know, Rabbi Dulitz was a little acerbic, so Rabbi Dulitz, I don't remember this formulation, but it was something like Rabbi Dulitz would say to him, well, I'm teaching you every single one of the Gemaras because Tosfos assumes that you know them, but I know that you don't. So, anyway, it was something like that. If you're disciplined, and it's easy to do in Tosfos because they, you know, the printers put in all the references. So you basically can go to every Gemara that Tosfos is going to quote, learn them first, and then come back and say, okay, when Tosfos is, you know, what is Tosfos doing? I'm telling you, it works so much more efficiently. Fine, you doing Bikis? The Night Seder? You guys learn Tosfos?
When there's time.
Not much. And you know when you learn, do you go before, look up every Gemara without even looking at the Tosfos itself? No, nobody does that. But that's the right way to do it, and it actually saves time. But again, if I said to you, Tol Kisi Nibene Necha, you'll say to me, Tol Kor Nibene Necha. Okay, so anyway, let's look at the Gemara through this right here, because otherwise we won't get the Ramban. So, Nisan, go ahead. Tanu Kasu Salva Basofa. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, this I find to be one of the funniest Gemaras that you're going to find. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Rav Parsavin is Kavsoch Adam. The Gemara says, yeah, so Kavsoch Adam. It's just the juxtaposition is kind of odd. So, well, obviously, the Gemara understands, what does it mean, Stavo Besocho? If you had the what was Rav Papa saying, in effect? That there is no unwritten snai that will invalidate the get. That's what he's saying. In other words, there is, unless it actually is Ksavo Besocho, there's nothing to talk about. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's what it says in the Mishnah, guys. So the good answer is, go ahead, Mahu Gutema. Okay, so what is the Torah of the get? There's a Torah and a Tofes. As words, the word Tofes, I'm sure, is a Greek word. It's like pipos. It's a standard form. You like that, fine? You don't like that? So, in fact, I'm not mistaken, the Targum Achazos Neos Lachem uses the same root, Nitapas Lachon, which means to be just like you. Because when you click, you know, when you stand things up, they all come out the same. That's what I assume the etymology is. I don't know what Toref means. A Toref means the Ikar. I don't know how it comes to mean that. So, there is a word Torfa, but it means filth or dirt. I don't know that what the relationship is between that and this, but Torah means the Ikar get. What is the Ikar haget? Shemi?
I am Tereth
Malachem. You need a little more than that. Shema Ish, Shema Isha, Midraban and Yidid Zman, and then Haram Muteres Lachaladam. Now, what's the Tofas haget? V'dein b'yevi lichi minoi Nesefer Tiruchin, Rigerish Shvukin, and something to get Piturin, you know, Limhoch, Limisnasna, whatever it is. I think by the end of the year, I want everybody to memorize the text of the get. That should be fun. It's a good activity. I know we live in a world where education, there is no memorization whatsoever. We should do a little bit. So everybody should be a bucky in the Tokas HaGet. I think I'm going to put that on your Bechina. Okay? You have to just.
Would that include the number of yods in each word?
No, I'm going to be mochel on the spot. Well, yeah, why not? Come on, we could have standards here. I believe in standards. It's actually not that long, but it'd be good. And you know, you could annoy guys in the basement for things. So understand that's your responsibility. It won't take you a long time. You just practice it three times a night. It'll take you about 1 minute or 2 minutes. And maybe we can generate a vocalized text of it. Fine, why don't you generate generalize the vocalized text, and Professor Bernstein and I can correct it if we want to correct it.
I don't know that yet.
That's okay. Do your best. We're not going to grade you on it. We'll correct it to the best that I can or the best that he can. And then we'll share it, and everybody can know the text of the Gif. It's a good thing to know. So anyway, the rest of it is kind of gravy. It's icing on the cake. That's the Tofes. But the Toref is, if you didn't write the Tofes, my assumption is if you wrote Harei Amr Teres Lechal Adam, and you give it to her to Harei Zegiteich, I imagine it's Kasher Mitaresa. I don't know for sure, but I think so. In fact, I'm virtually certain, because if we say that if the Sofer can write Tof Segit, or I should say, if you can have it tonight during that time, and it passes in the first half, according to the Rabbi, not in the second half, obviously. Now, some people don't think, Rav Papa doesn't think it passes at all. But the fact that Rava holds it passes the get, if you utter the Tanai and the get is written, l'shem a get al Tanai in the Toref, but not in the Tofes, it tells you that the Tofes is not ma'akif. That's what I would assume. So, Rav Safar said it doesn't matter, any Tanai that is not written cannot pass all the get. Rabbi has a different opinion. Go ahead. Okay. Now, what passels lifnei haTorah, by the way, right now? What will make a get passel when it's done before the Torah is finished? Should it? I'm sorry? No. Anything that passels, chutz, is the way right now we're saying. Chutz that passels, if you were to write it, if you were to give it al Tanai, passels, even al peh, before the Torah has been finished. Right? If you write chutz into the get, it would seem anywhere as possible. But if you're thinking chutz, not thinking, but you're saying chutz to the sofer, while he's writing the Torah, nishkun, doesn't work. The Azda, go ahead. It tells the sofer, when you're writing a bet, have all the people in your bet looking in your basin, looking at the husband with beady eyes and a glare, you know, shooting daggers so that he won't open his mouth until you finish the Torah. Then you can make a l'chaim with him. That is the thing. But until then, you make sure the man does not utter a word. Because if he utters a word that this should be almanas, or chutz, really, while they're writing the Torah, it invalidates it. It means the Torah is shalom l'shema. Even though it's l'shem ayish, l'shem ayish, l'shem gerushin, it's l'shem a gerushin that's invalid. It's not l'shem chrisos, you might say. It's not l'shem chrisos. Okay. Continue. So Rebbe believes that now we're talking about writing. We're not talking about the Al-Peh part. We are talking about when does the Tanai Pasal get. So I think I mentioned one of the earliest Shurim this year. There is an opinion that writing any Tanai into a get is a Pasal to get. You can give a get out Tanai as long as it's a valid Tanai, as long as it's a Krisus. But any Tanai written into the get, Pasal to get. Why? Jimmy?
Because it means that, like, the Ikar get has a T'nai in it.
And therefore?
Not really. I'm kidding. The question.
I think so. I think Rebbe thinks it's a sheer begita. It's not Krisus. The get has to be unconditional. The chetz of the get has to be an unconditional chetz. You may be able to give it with certain conditions, but if the get itself hems and haws, almanas, or certainly chutz, that is considered sheer begita. That's not Krisus. That's what I would think. That's what I think his opinion is. Okay. Okay, and now the Chachamim say no. You can write Tanai to get, as long as the Tanai would be valid al peh, it's not a problem in the get. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Okay. So Rabbi Zeira, says it's a homach locus about whether or not writing a Tanai to the get passes it is dafka if you do it before the Torah. If you do it after the Torah, in a sense, it would seem, and then that as long as the Tanai itself is a valid Tanai, it's a legitimate Tanai, that's not inherently posel from a Sira, it's fine. Why? Because even, well, we would say that Rebbe, well, the question is, what's Rebbe's opinion? You know, but we don't have to, well, Rebbe might say that if it is written before the Torah, so that's the only thing that passes again. That's the only part of Shalom Lishma passes again. So whatever you write in the Tofes doesn't pass again. Now, so I don't think that, so I think actually, right, you have to say that. That would be Rebbe's position, is that a Tanai in the Torah is just as Rava said that a Tanai Bal Peh, which is invalid, invalidates the get when you have that, when you've uttered it when they're writing the Torah. So Rebbe would say, because it's not, it's already, that's considered not krisus for Rava, that's a chutz. So to here, it's not considered krisus because in the Iker HaTorah, you had a Tanai. Okay, but La'ach and the Rabbanan say, what are you talking about? The fact that you have a Tanai doesn't mean it's not krisus. The Sefer of Krisus doesn't have to be any more Krisus than the Mesira has to be, than the Nesina has to be. And if it's not, if it's considered Krisus for the Nesina, it's considered Krisus for the Ksiva, for the Chetz of the Get. Okay. Aval, La'acha HaTorah, if you read the Derech Kol Kosher. After the Torah, nobody has a problem. Umas Nisan.
Well,
And so the Mishnah, so here, by the way, in a very, very brief line, remember when we read the Mishnah, and it said, Ksavo b'socho, pasul, Aval Tisha Chazo Mechako pasul. So what did you write it in? What did you write in the get? So we made an assumption that I pointed out when we read the Mishnah, it's not entirely clear. Ksavo b'socho could mean if you wrote anything in the get. And there's even Rabbi Eliezer, who's Mashir, doesn't allow you to write it into get. It can only be part of the Masira. This is really Rebbe's opinion. The Gemara here makes clear that that is not so. Right? Because the Gemara here asks the question, oh, we have a machlokes if you write a non-invalidating tznai into a get. We have a machlokes whether or not it passels before the Torah, but everybody agrees that the Torah if it doesn't. So when the Mishnah says, Sava ukimna b'chutz, and we made the ukimta by chutz, Ava amanas lo pasil. So let's see. If we're out, so the Gemara is assuming that when the Mishnah says ksavo b'socho, it means you wrote an invalid tznai into the get. But had it been a valid tznai, the Mishnah would have assumed that the get is kosher. So if that's the case, where did you write this valid tznai into the get? This non-disqualifying tznai that it's kosher. So the Gemara says, Ivoye seima. So that's the, again, umasnisim the katani kasvo ksavo the okimna bachutz. And we said it was achutz. Avo manas lo fasil. So Ivoye seima nisim. Go ahead. Right. If the Mishnah's case of ksavo the selfo was talking about before this Torah, then only the Rabbanan amashir by an amanas. If it's a valid tonight, then the Rabbanan, only the Rabbanan amashir. If you assume Ksavah B'Sofah refers to after the Torah, then it could be both Rebbe and the Rabbanan, who according to Rabbi Zeira agree that a Tznai, that's not disqualifying, that is written into a get. After the Torah, everybody according to Rabbi Zeira agrees, it's good. Continue. Okay, so the way, so here's the, Tosus here assumes. So let's say the Rabbanon's position. Rebbe's position we understand. Let's assume according to Rebbe, but Kodem HaTorah, even a good Tanai is disqualifying fundamentally because it's not Krisis. And La'achar HaTorah Yugazu because of Fnei HaTorah. But according to the Rabbanon, is a valid tznai written before the Torah disqualifying? No, not Medina. Because the Rabbanan believe any tznai that's a valid tznai, that's krisus alpeh, it's krisus lechtav. So why then did the Rabbanan not allow? The Gemara says that the Rabbanan not goes there la'achar torah kodem atorah by almanas, by valid tznai. Why the Rabbanan goes there kodem atorah? The answer is because you might come to write chutz kodem atorah. That's what Tosa says. One second. So what's that? I understand. We're shifting positions, that's all. Now, I want to point out that the Tosus claims that even Rebbe's position is only Xerah. It's only Xerah. Rebbe is Gozer, the Fnei HaTorah, by Tanai Kosher, unless you write it Tanai Pasol, the Fnei HaTorah. Now, it really sounds like if you write it Tanai Pasol, Achar Torah, it doesn't matter. Which I guess would make sense, except for one problem. What's the one? In other words, he would say that once you wrote the Torah, that gets really kosher, so what you write afterwards doesn't really matter. There's a problem with that. Right? Again, Tosus claims that Rebbe only disqualifies Kodem HaTorah by Almanas, because you might come to do Chutz Kodem HaTorah. And Chutz is invalid tonight. And he goes there, La'achar HaTorah, lest you come to do even Almanas, lest you come to do Almanas before the Torah, lest you then come to do Chutz before the Torah. And it's all one Xerah, it's not a Xerah, it's Xerah. So if that's the case, So I'm suggesting that there is a problem. There should be a problem, according to this reading. It sounds like, according to Tosfos, if you wrote Chutz L'Achar HaToref, it wouldn't disqualify Min HaToref, according to Rebbe. Because otherwise, you would just say, Gazrina L'Achar HaToref, Ba'amanas, Otu Achar HaToref, Chutz. It sounds like it's only disqualified, according to anybody, Midoraisa, when you write a disqualifying Tanai, Kodel HaToref. Everything else is a machlokus in the scope of the Gzera. So why do I have a problem if someone writes a disqualifying Tanai L'Achar HaToref? So you see something, by the way, from Tosis and Shita, that L'Achar HaToref Mikra Adin, it's not possible if you write a disqualifying Tanai. Something we did in Mikias, guys. What happens if Krovim or Psulim sign on a get, according to Rabbi Elazar, that Evi Masira Karti, is the get kosher apostle? What?
Apostle.
Do you need Evi Masira on the get?
Nope.
So why is it apostle?
Because now you have it, you need it, right?
What's the term? Right? Masira Kitofa. And as you don't have to do certain things, but in a case, if this Eden sign, false Eden sign, that's La'achar HaToref, how does it disqualify it? Is it Mitocho? So here, you put it tonight. You know, Tosis has a kasha there. Tosis says, how is that a problem? It's not by Sholoshma. Sholoshma, when the Eden sign, Nechtam Sholoshma, that's not Mizuyuf Mitocho. It just means the signatures aren't the Shma. If not, Edom or Krovim or Psulim were literally disqualified. Now this is more like Edom, Krovim or Psulim. You write in a Tanai, Chutz Tanai, in a Get Lach HaToref, that should passel it. Why doesn't it passel it? It's Mizuyuf Mitocho. If you say, as Tosfos I think says on Daf Gimel, at the Thalam, that Mizuyuf Mitocho is only Psul to Rabban, and I believe that's what Tosfos holds, then this makes sense. You could say, anything you do after the Torah from the Raisa cannot disqualify the Get. Can't. Doesn't matter if it's Mizuyuf Mitocho with the witnesses, it doesn't matter if you write it tonight, it's invalid, doesn't matter if you write Shaloshma. All those things are Chashash to Rabbanon, and they may not have, and perhaps you would say that'll leave it to Rabbanon if you write an invalidating tonight after the Torah, according to Rabbi Zera, even though Pascha that way, that doesn't disqualify at all. There's no Zera here about Mizuyuf Mitocho. Okay, that was Rabbi Zera's position. Rabba has a different position. Go ahead. Okay, so everybody agrees before the Torah if it's possible, and we would, Tosfos would certainly say that we're afraid if we allow you to write a valid tonight, you're writing an invalid tonight. We're gazrinan amanas atuchutz, and that's why we don't allow you to write anything before the Torah. La'achar haTorah, so Rebbe it makes a broad statement. The Chachamim say only tonight that invalidate the get pasul and the rabbanon after the Torah. Kodem HaTorah, they would pass them at the Raisa, Achar Torah, everything's to Rabbanon. Okay. So now the Gemara says, right, so we have a Mishnah that implies that if you write an invalid Tanai and again, it invalidates it, but if you write a valid Tanai and again, it doesn't invalidate it. So, on what circumstances could that work? The answer is it only works on the Chachamim, and if it's after the writing of the Torah for the Get. Before the writing of the Torah for the Get, everybody disqualifies it. After the writing, Rebbe still disqualifies. So the only way to get a Get with a Kasher of Tanai, which the Mishnah implies there is, the Mishnah implies that if you wrote a Pasul Tanai to get it's invalid, if you wrote a Kasher of Tanai, it is valid. The only way to get even such an opinion most of the time is the Rabbanan, if you wrote the Tanai La'achar HaTorah. Okay. Let's just finish the little piece, even though it's not important to us right now. Okay. So he taught Braisa, and Rav Zera said that Kasav al Tanai Divrei Hakol is possible. So that obviously, and then who's talking? Who's the teacher in the Bryce in front of? This is important. Rabbi Zera. That's crucial. What's that? because according to Rebbe Zera, there's no place that everybody passes. There's a place where everybody's machshir. There's no place that everybody passes. Whereas according to Rava, there's a place where everybody passes and no place where everybody machshir. But he's teaching in front of Rebbe Zera, and he said, what's the case? La'achar Torah. Rav Zera says, Rebbe is voted the Chachamim, that a Tanai, kosher, does not invalidate. So the Gemara says, once you're amending the statement of the Braisa to read, Hakol kosher instead of Hakol pasul, the Lema. So why don't you just say, what should the Braisa have said? Tana avuad Rabbi Abin Kamadir Zera. Kosav get al Tanai. Finish the braisa according to the suggestion.
Hari is apostle.
And then we would have said, Virebi. Virebi. In other words, just say Hari is apostle, and we would say, and it's Rebbe sheep, obviously, Kodama Torah. Why do we amend the braisa to say, instead of changing Pasul to Kasher trains Ledivar Hakol to Harezeh. That was the question, and it would be Rebbe Shita, who pasuls Kodem HaTorah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara here is just suggesting a rule of oral memorization. He knew that he had in his head Divrei Hakol, and he said, listen, it is easy to forget whether the braisa says pasul akasha. You can mix those words up. It's not so easy to mix up hareza and divrayakol. So that's why if you know the braisa has some type of corruption, textual corruption, better to amend pasul akasha than to amend divrayakol to hareza. Okay. Before we go to the Ramban, I just want to ask, why did we do this Gemara? I mean, we have to learn the whole parak, and we're going to get here eventually, and it's part of our Mishnah. But why is this relevant to our sugya?
Hoping that chut is definitely possible. It seems huge, the distinction between the before and after.
That part, the proof from this Gemara is purely incidental. In other words, for the substantive part of the Gemara, there's no reason to have a proof. The Gemara just gave something away, though. What's that? Why did the Ramban quote this Gemara? So I'm going to put your feet to the fire just a little bit, which is, the Ramban used this Gemara. This was one of the problems for the Ramban, one of the big problems. What line is it? So there are two lines, but one's really a much bigger problem. That's the real problem. But let's talk about the first problem, which the Ramban may not actually raise, but is the initial problem, and which is more easily deflectable, because there's an explicit Yerushalmi that actually provides the answer for that. What's the first problem? Ephraim, what's the first problem?
The beginning,
where the Rabbanon say... What the Rabbanan say in the Gemara says, the Chacham say, Kol sheposal peh posal v'sav, shein posal peh, ein posal v'sav. Chut sheposal peh posal v'sav, amanah shein posal peh, ein posal v'sav. Which I don't know, by the way, if that's part of the Brice or not. That may just be the Gemara's Perush. And either way, it doesn't really matter. In fact, you hope that's part of the Gemara's Perush, right? Otherwise, you have another Tanaitic source here, potentially, of the distinction between amanah and, right? So I don't think Pashtus is that it is part of the Brisa. I think it's the Gemara's Perush. But it distinguishes between a Tanai that's no good, something in the get that's no good, which is a Chutz, versus an Almanas. And so doesn't that tell you that that we distinguish that Chutz is Posel against Rabbi Eliezer and Almanas is Kosher because the Rabban Amodu. That's what I would have read the Gemara. Now how can one deflect this very easily? Well, we'll see the Ramban. But before we see the Ramban, how can you deflect it? It's the way the Yerushalmi deflects it. I do not have my tiny Yerushalmi here. Where's my tiny Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi, not in where you expect it. It's on Gimel Aleph, and I wouldn't have known it. I turned to Ephraim and asked him, say, did we do the Yerushalmi in the first Mishnah? Because we really should have, because it's the kind of issue that would come up quite an ass until we realize, yes, we spent a lot of time doing that was the Yerushalmi in the first Mishnah, but clearly it doesn't make that distinction, chutzam anas. We knew that already. But in a Yerushalmi in Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph, it's quoted by the Ramban and others, the Rashba. So here the Gemara says, quote, I'll just quote you the Brice as it appears. The Brice says, you might recognize this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan utni kein. Rabbi Yochanan said, and we also have a Brice. Kol ha'tanayim posel beget devei Rebbe v'chacham omrim eshu posel b'peh posel b'chtav esheinu posel b'peh eino posel b'chtav. Hare'at muteres l'chol adam chutz b'ploni hol v'posel b'peh posel b'chtav. Hareza giteich amanash etitni l'masayim zuz. So Yerushalmi distinguishes between chutz and amanas and a get, but not the chutz and amanas that we're interested in. It's between chutz meyizeh, chutz meyploni, versus amanas shetitni limasayimzus. So that's what the Ramban could say about this particular line in the Gemara, which is when it says the thing between chutz and amanas, it's not between chutz meyploni versus amanas shetitni limasayimzus. It's chutz meyploni, amanas, like regular conditions where you can marry everybody, you just have to give me money, you know, because that's what I'm after. The real problem is the second part. When the Gemara says that Umas Nisan, the top line in Pehem et al. Says, says first, that according to Rabbi Zeira, everybody agrees the only time it's, you can't write a Tanai to get, a Kusher Tanai, is before the Torah. And the Gemara says, oh, but the Mishnah says you can, it says you can write a get, a Tanai to get. Umas nisan de ketani ksavo ukimna bachutz al almanas lo pasil. So the Mishnah implies that you can write chutz into a almanas into a, you can't write chutz into a get. It pasils the get. It doesn't help handing it over again. But almanas you could write into a get. Well, that must be either lefnei atov or rabbanon or atov ready. But the key point is the Gemara says umas nisan de ketani ksavo ukimna bachutz al almanas lo pasil. And we're talking about according to the Chachamim here. Because Rabbi Eliezer, chutz is good. So it's clear that the reading of the Mishnah is that the Gemara's stam assumption from the Mishnah is that chutz is no good and almanas everybody agrees is good. So if that's the case, game over. It's clear that the distinction stands in the Mishnah. Right? In the Mishnah, that chutz is no good, almanas is good according to the Rabbanan. It should be the end of game. And it's just the stam assumption of the Gemara here. That's why the Ramban faces a problem, and it's going to have to kind of fetch his way out of it. Okay, so now let's actually go to the Ramban. Okay, the reprieve doesn't last forever. So let's we'll do Chazara from the beginning here. I didn't mean to go that far. Go ahead. Fine, the Hachinami Mashma. So you read the first thing. The Hachinami Mashma.
Hachinami Mashma, the listener to Gemara. The Itmar Le Kaman, U Masnitin de Gatani Katvo, Rokinda Bahut Aval Almanas Lo Patil. Alma Lafum Okintin Almanas Lo Patil, Vafilu Be Shelo Tinasu the Ploni.
Because, obviously, the La Shirahu. Right, the Ramban's thesis, obviously, we even say this before, you know what the two positions are. Can you explain what's the difference? What is the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Ramban's position and the most Rishonim? Right? Most Rishonim say, Kepshut An Shogemar, that a Tnai that she can't marry so and so is not considered a Shir Beget. And the Ramban, according to the Rabbanan, and that's why they Moda. And according to the Ramban, no, he thinks that there are Tanan who hold, and that's the way we should hold. That the Rabbanan argue across the board. So why? What's going on? Shani?
I think that everyone agrees that if it's a shear from the Tanai, then it's just the same for a shear in the get, but they disagree about the definition of a get.
That one's far above, way above my head. I think there's a simpler way. How do they differ in the definition of a get?
Like, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't think it has to be material ko'adam, while the Rabbanan say it really does.
So I'm trying to understand, why would the Rabbanan say, why would we say that the Rabbanan hold Amanas works, and the Rabbanan say that the Rabbanan hold Amanas doesn't work?
What's your definition of amanah?
Amanah shel tinas ilafan.
So I mean, we're saying that very legalistically, it's nice. Different amanah is different. But the Ramban is saying, but practically, it's we enter in the same place.
Correct. In other words, our position, the mainstream position, is that in order to invalidate a get, it has to be that she is not, in effect, muteris l'chaladim. But as Tosis used the formulation, once you give her the get and you say haram muteris l'chaladim, but you say amanas, anything that comes after that is just a tanai. But fundamentally, she's a muteris l'chaladim, right? She's a grusha l'gabe every kohen. And so we are concerned with the formalistic or the legalistic way the thing is undertaken. Right? If I can borrow the contemporary analogy I may mention in Shir, if we hold like these Rishonim, in the Second Amendment, we would say that if a state said anybody can have any guns they like, but they basically banned the manufacture of any guns in the state, and they banned the importation of any guns in the state, so the riff in the Rambam would say, well, that's not an infringement upon the Second Amendment because you're allowed to own any guns you like. Oh, you're not allowed, you're not able to get a gun into the state because you can't make guns here and you can't bring them in. No, that's just a tanai, that's incidental. Whereas the Rambam would say, no, the point is that you can't infringe the right to bear arms, so you can infringe it in the sense of you may not bear arms, or you can infringe it by de facto, making it impossible for the person to bear arms, even though they're allowed to bear arms. I'm not taking, I think, the Second Amendment, as far as I understand from my brother-in-law professor, that would be considered probably by any court, even a liberal court, an infringement on the right to bear arms, right? But here, the Ramban's position in certain ways is a more intuitive one. It is a less legalistic, more intuitive one, that if basically she can't marry anyone she wants, who she would otherwise be permitted to meet tzadhim, that's not called krisis. But the dominant opinion says that no, that the manner in which it's done actually... You would also say, Shimmy might have been onto something, but I'm not sure where you were going with this, that the Ramban is concerned about the krisus is defined by the result. And the other Rishonim says that krisus is defined by the get. In other words, if the get itself fundamentally permits her to marry anyone, and it's only something external, even though it's due to him, that prevents her from doing so, that's still called krisus, because krisus has to be really a din in the get, not a din in the metzias. I guess that's coming back to the pragmatic. It's not so different. Okay. So anyway, but the Ramban's got a problem. The Ramban says the Ramban has a problem. Yeah. Yes, fine.
The equation of the Ramban's, the conceptual equation of the Ramban's, conception of the Ramban's, or Bill Machlokes of the Gazer, fundamentally different than the equation of the Ramban in.
I think it's the same thing. I think that's what the Rambam may even point to that. Actually, somebody may point to that. But in the question is when the Gemara does something funny, and we may have pointed this out quickly in passing. Right? The Gemara initially, go to the Gemara for a second on Pei Bei Samad Aleph. Right? How does the Gemara present the two tzadim initially? It presents the two tzadim if the machlokus is by chutz. The Chachamim say it's no good because it's sheer beget. But the mode of Aitznai, why? Because it's like me did have a whole Tznai in the Alma. Every Tznai that you attach to a get doesn't mean it's not Krisus, it's not a Shir Beget, it just means the get's a get, but you got to fulfill the Tznai. And they don't explain Rabbi Eliezer's position, is only explained if they don't explain Rabbi Eliezer's position if he says that Chutz works. That's what the Gemara does on Pei Beis Lamed Beis. But bottom line, the Gemara on the opening, and this is a stira, b'mashmos, the Gemara in the opening Shach Levitarya says that if the Rabbanon argue by Chutz, or Rabbi Eliezer's Moda by Chutz, it's because the Hashir Labiget. That's whoever answers by Chutz is Hashir Labiget. Now turn to Pei Beis Amid Beis. And the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why my time in the Rabbi Lasser, second line, needed to have a kol tanai da'alma. For Rabbanon, kol tanai da'alma lo shir labeget, ha hashir labeget. So I understand. In the first part, you said that a tanai is by definition, a tanai is not shir labegita. Here you say, this tanai is shir labegita. Now the Gemara is careful about that in which it says, ha tanai is shir labegita. Now the first part of the Gemara assumes that we don't really care what the tanai is. If she's muteris l'chol adam, we don't care what the practical results of the get are. Bottom line is it's not called a shir beget. Whereas, when the Gemara gets to the second part, it has to explain why would the Rabbanan not allow an Amanashim Tanas Dilponi? The answer, isn't it meaty to have a whole Tanai Damas like every other Tanai, Amanashim Tishayim? The answer is no, because every other Tanai, she can marry whoever she wants, you know, who she would permit otherwise. The issue dissolves for everybody, in a sense, equally, except for that she has to do or not do something. Whereas, here, even though the procedural manner, you know, the get permits her for everybody, de facto the get does not permit her. Right? So what Ephraim is saying is that is the same, it's essentially the same position, right? I mean, that is it's the same thing. That's what the Ramban is saying. Okay, so now the Ramban continues. Umihu
kasha li taha abba azkinim hishibu agarab shel.
I want you to reread those last two words with the proper emphasis.
Bachutz
ve'almanas. That's ve'almanas. Correct. That's the what he's telling me. They're arguing by both. Rabbi Akiva. So we should have said the Bitarti Pligi, they argue on both. The Hadikatani.
The Hadikatani is not to meet you. Chutz Lodircha Kocho de Rebbe Rebbe. The Koach de Tura Adifus.
Now you understand what Rambam meant by that line. Mm-hmm. And he really does say this in the Mishnah. Esha, so he says, really, you could say they argue on both. And why does Mishnah teach you a case of chutz? Because that's indisputable in the Maskan of the Gemara, that Ella means chutz. That's clear in the Gemara. So why does he tell you chutz? To teach you koch the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer. The Esher Nami Lamekin is possible. Why? Daha, go ahead.
Esher Nami Lamekin, Daha lo amrinan v'pashte derabina, shmamina chutz hu avav almanat module shmamina.
It doesn't say avav almanat module. Ella...
Ella stamka amrinan v'chutz hu lomar d'v'chutz nami palig Rabbi Eliezer.
Right. In other words, it's to tell you, it's when we say v'chutz hu, it doesn't mean that they don't argue by amanas, it just tells you that Rabbi Eliezer is meiko by chutz. And v'alakam amrinan. That's the next thing. Now we say mastista dolki aitana. Once we've established that Rabbi Eliezer, in other words, in order to show that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is against the Mishnah, we have to demonstrate that Rabbi Yehuda argues by chutz. Right? Whether the Rabbanan argue a moda by almanas is not necessary, and we can't prove in the Mishnah because the Mishnah doesn't talk about chutz. But once we can demonstrate that Rabbi Eliezer is moda by chutz, is holy by chutz, then we know that it's the loki haitan, the name of the Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now, but what do you do with all the proofs that the Ramban accumulated earlier? The Hadamrin on the Kamon.
Vadamrin Kamon Vimas Mitin Digatani Kadru Vakimna Bachutz Ava Amanat Lo Pasio. A Lo Amanat Dishalo Timasila Phoni Tamar De Hahu Ikalamemar Kehutz Gami. Ella Herfika Alkamar The Hamas Mitin.
Oh, let's slow down for a second. The Hadamrin on the Kamon. You have to open quotes here. Umas Nisa Dakhtani. Saba, ve'okimna bachutz. Okay, close. Avo manaslo pasuk. Close quote.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you see that the Mishnah that we're talking about, the Mishnah is dafka chutz and not almanas because it does not pass on the Rabbanan. So the Rabban says lo almanaslo tenasi the ploni amar. It's not talking about a case of almanaslo tenasi the ploni. Okay, why? Or Dahahu No, you could say that the Almanash Lotinasi is the same thing as chutz. When we say Mastisa no kimna bachutz is possible, it means any time you exclude a guy. There's only one problem. The Gemara's putting in the Mishnah, Umasnisa Ukimna, and we know what we did in the Mishnah. We said chutz. Clearly, when we said chutz on the Mishnah, that was lafuke what? Almanash lotinasi. That's explicit in the opening Gemara. So now the question is, did that stand the Maskana? So on the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says Shvamin Arvina says Shvamin Achutzu. That doesn't prove what the Maskana was Lagabe Amanas. But when the Gemara later says Umas Nista Lukimno Bachutz, but for Amanas Lo Pasil, so he says firstly that's a different Amanas. That's the Amanas Shlo Tishti Yayin. And what do you do with Umas Nista Lukimno? So Elohochi Kamar.
Elohochi Kamar. Vaha Masmitin Digatani. Kachbu, the Al-Kain
Mal-Karchen
Shiura Ketani Chut O Amenat Dumya De Chut Aval Amenat De Alma De Lav Shiura Kegon Shalot Yishdi Yain Lo Pasil.
Okay, so, now so the first thing he says when the Gemara makes reference to the Mishnah and it says which is Chutz on a substantive level it means chutz and anything that's conceptually similar to chutz. Meaning amanas, shalotinasi, is like a chutz. But the problem is, v'ukimna lav dafka. Right? If the Ramban is saying that when we use the word chutz on Peheim at Aleph, that refers to not a textual chutz, but a conceptual chutz. Anything that's like chutz, then why do we say ukimna? Like making ukimta in the Mishnah means we're saying that it's talking about a case of. Nobody disputes that the Rabbanon's position is that a shir beget is a problem, and Rabbi Eliezer on some level is saying it's not. Saying it's not. So when the Gemara says ukimna, our Mishnah, and ukimna meaning we made an ukimta to say the Mishnah is chutz as opposed to what? What was the ukimta in the Mishnah, if you want to call it that? It was to say that the Mishnah means chutz and not amanash lo tinasi. So at the end of the day, you're still stuck with that. So he says, the ukimna, put that in quotes, the open quote, ukimna, close quote, lav davka. Ela l'ravcha demilsa aisi ukimta lomar demasnish shir katani. The only reason why they quote the ukimta, that it's chutz, is because chutz is the quintessential shi'ur. Okay, inam. So that's the only reason why. But it's lav dafka chutz. When the Gemara says umasnis to kimna bachutz almanas lo pligi, that means chutz and anything doma lo. But it's lav dafka the formulation of chutz. Inami
de I almanas kitani
aleyama. Right, or the reason why the Gemara chose to say it was chutz, because had it said almanas, had it given that case. Hava amina
hu adin le almanas de alma.
Almanas de alma. Aval
hasha de betai le bachut mashma hava almanas de lav shiura.
Hava almanas de lav shiura. If you had an almanas which wasn't the shir, almanas de tishti yayin.
Lo.
So then, lo. Then we know that it's kasha.
V'chein ze she shai bebaraita chut she posel al peh.
The first bright, the bright, they point out the first problem. When the bright, the Rebbe says, call out tonight and post them again. Chacham say, call tonight, she posel alpeh, posel basad. V'chol she eno posel alpeh, eno posel basad. Chutz the posel alpeh, posel basad, amanash eno posel alpeh, eno basad. What do you do with that? So he says, that's amanash, the masayin zis katani, the lama ayel. The Tana isn't getting into that issue there. Okay, so he says that's what it says in Yushalmi. And that's the Yushalmi I read to you earlier from the third parrot. The Yushalmi in that braisa distinguishes not between chutz from this guy versus amanash lo tinasi to this guy, but between chutz from this guy and amanash tikni masayinsis. So that the Rambans who came in that braisa on Pedalat on the base is pshat, at least from the Yushalmi. But it's the second part that's more strange. But he says, v'eino mechuvar kol atzorah. What does mechuvar mean?
Clear.
Yes. What does it come from? It's the same word as machvar tekedeshan mekar. But what is the word? Original meaning of the word?
White.
Chiyura or chivra is white. The word might even appear in Tanakh. What? No. V'orgim chorai. Because it's in parallel to Boshu, I think. It's somewhere in Yeshaya. And it's very unclear what the reason, but right there, what happens when you get embarrassed? Right, Malbun Penecha Ve'erbarav, your face turns white, the blood drains away. So some suggest that Ogim Chorai, I think it's modern commentators that suggest that actually is the same word as Chivra, which means white. So when we say something is white, even though white is a color too, and it also is like opaque, but we say it's clear. Right. Or, for example, Rashi, the Sifrei, in last week's Parsha, Ufarsu, 2 week and a half ago, it's still Kisava, right? Because it's Monday? Yes, so it's last week's Parsha. The Shabbos starts on Wednesday. It's Mikra Darshan, Dindrash Lefanav La'acharav. And Lefnei Fanav and La'acharacharav. So Rashi, on Ufarsu, Asimel Lefnei Zifnei Ha'ir. So the pshat is what the Targum says is that they take the bed sheet, the white sheet that they spread out under the Chasana Kala to prove that she was a virgin. But what does Rashi say? He quoting one of the pshatim in the Sifrei, is bechavrin hadavar kisimla. We clarify things like a clean sheet. We want to be mevarer exactly what happened. Parsu asimla means they clarify matters. What happened? Was she psula? She's not a psula. So bechavrin hadavar kisimla. That's what they say. So. So that's what he says, that nonetheless, despite all the what I just said, he says, Ve'ena mechuvah kol hazarach. It's not in quiet or clear. The ode
she'ena rabbeinu hagadol, de hashut de be'almanat module, de lamanu de t'nai de t'harti pli.
So, the riff, that's what he calls rabbeinu hagadol. The riff. So it says, ba'almanat module. So we... continue. V'lamadnu d'tanai b'tarte pligi. What does that mean? That's a. You know what that line means?
Almanach means all the different
tanai. It means that which tanai are we talking about here? V'lamadnu d'tanai that the tanaim argue by two things. Which tanaim argue by two things? No.
Yeah.
No, Adababa, for the Rif, they only argue by one thing, right?
Tana
the Mishnah. Yeah. Tana the Mishnah and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda argue by two. Remember, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is explicit. He's explicit that the Rabbanan argue by Almanaz, but everybody agrees that Chutz is no good. The Tana the Mishnah, according to the Ramban to the Maskana, holds what for sure? According to the Talmud Mishnah, they argue by Chutz. But it could be, according to the Mishnah, they could argue both. In which case, the Mishnah and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda are not disagreeing on two things. The Talmud only disagree on one. They're disagreeing whether Rabbi Lezer argued on the Chachamim by Chutz. But everybody could be agreeing that they argue with one another by Almanas. So that's according to Ramban's approach, that the Mishnah holds they argue by both. There's only one degree of difference in Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda says they argue by Chutz. By argue only by Almanas, not by Chutz. They all agree it's possible. And the Talmud Mishnah says, no. I mean, they have to argue it's by Chutz as well. But the way now the Rif is presenting, Lamanu de Tanoi, the Tan of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Betarbi Pligi. They argue in two. They argue both what is the Machlokas, if any, by Chutz, and what is it the Machlokas, if any, by Almanas. Okay, and each point, how did I figure that? I looked at this, I couldn't understand what you meant until you read the next line. Tan of the Masni San Savar. Right, that's Rabbi Yosef Levi Shita, that they argue by Chutz. That's where the Gemara came out in the Maskana, because he was talking about Rabbi Yosef Levi was, I keep forgetting this case, it's not the Yibun case, it's also Lakol Motel Lakol, yes. Yes, also Lakol Motel Lakol, and that the Gemara explains only works by Chutz, because by Almanas she's Muteris Lovizmus, and therefore Rabbi Yosef HaGalili holds the Machlokas is, let's say, Bedafka by Chutz, and he's agreed to Tana Mishnah, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. I have Vehainunami.
Savre de Rabbi Tarfon.
That's Rabbi Tarfon Svara, and Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva, Nami Savar de Afilu Ba'almanat, and Amagureshes, Vikoshikain Ba'chutz, Umishum de Shmialei.
So Rabbi Akiva would hold that the Rabbanan are not Modu by Almanas, and certainly not by Chutz, only Shum. But because the Shmuel Masnisen, because he heard our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says it by Chutz.
Oh, it's even out of Chutz.
Okay, and there are Ba'a. They themselves are arguing. Right, they only came, I mean, it really depends who, but they came to be meshiv on the position of chutz. They came to argue on the Mishnah. Now, Vanan.
Vanan hashta kevan destam matnitin v'chutz v'lo gitani klal almanat kavte kamalat.
Yeah, we passed that to Mishnah. And the Mishnah holds, now that we've established for the Rif, the Mishnah holds chutz dafka komoda by almanas. Okay. V'hava le stam, and the stam lan ki Rabbi Yosef Galili, v'hava le.
V'hava le stam matnitin v'machloket.
This is just one of the klalei apsak in Shas. Then you have a, if you have a stam mishnah and a machlokas in the brisa, we follow the stam mishnah. If you have a machlokas in the mishnah, stam in the brisa, we don't follow the brisa necessarily. Pass that guy to shita. So he says this is a stam in the mishnah and a machlokas in the brisa, and therefore we pass that to stam. Okay. Yesh lachosh adayin.
Yesh lachosh adayin. Delo nistaber dachazuke chuluta de knai.
Yeah.
Kidei.
What's that word?
Bikidai.
What does it mean? We would pronounce it bichidi, and it means for nothing. As we don't for nothing. Sometimes the Gemara will quote a statement the same. They'll say, they say in the name of somebody, va'amri la kidi. They say in name of nobody, like free. Right, so the Ramban says, why should we be marbe machlokas amongst the Tanaim b'chti for no particular, not when we're not compelled to? Ooh, lemidchiyei
led to Rabbi Akiva,
the
Rabbi Tarfon, the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yehuda, the kulo pasuli the almanah.
Right, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Akiva. Certainly, if you put his two stubborn together, they hold that the Rabbanon posel by even on almanah. So why should we though have their opinions? Ud Rabbi Lazar. Yeah, this we could spend all day, and I'm not going to argue. I'm not sure that I find the Ramban's argument compelling here.
Below,
what was Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's position?
Croesus.
That was like, this is not Croesus. And I actually think the other way, but you know, who am I? That chutz is much more a lack of Croesus than almanas. It's fun at its core, right? If it's not Mutaris L'Chalam, it's Chutz Miboni. It's not Mutaris L'Chalam anymore. That's not Croesus. I think he's noted more towards Chutz, but it's not explicit. Lo Ashkechan Behedya.
Man Da'amar Kasher Klal.
Nobody says explicitly it's Kasher Klal. I mean, true, because none of the Tanaim and the Braisa are explicit at all. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda is explicit that the Rabbanan Da'am Afshir at all. And the Mishnah that says the way we understand it, they argue by Chutz. Doesn't say anywhere explicitly that the Chachamim are machshir by almanas. So if nobody explicitly machshir, you have a bunch of Tanaim who clearly don't hold that way. So why would we paskin then? Why would we read there as a double machlokus, and then why would we paskin that way? To Oud.
The Oud, Deim Ken Allah, Zekenim Hallelu, Man Demotiv Almanat, the Rabbi Elazar, Lotiv Lachavre, Demachshir.
Yeah, those who were asking kashas against Rabbi Eliezer on the basis of Almanas could have asked to their contemporaries, the other guys in the Braisa. Right? Well, let's see. Who said that they were moved by Almanas? Rabbi Yosef Galili. So why not ask against Rabbi Yosef HaGalili? Hey, dude, forget Rabbi Eliezer. Why do you have to go after the dead guy? It's much more fun to go after the live guy. He's the tall fact. I mean, that's exactly why they went after Rabbi Eliezer. So Ramban says, why weren't they meshiv achar habre? Okay, v'heichan dachinan.
V'heichan dachinan de ashli rab reve de lo.
Below klum. What does that mean? What are ashli rab reve? Giant trees. Or that's what I assume ashli is, some type of a tree. Great trees or great branches. Haki to be docha, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, below klum. How could you do that? V'od.
V'od ashlichan. ki ha milta de itmar la kaman umat mitin de okimna bachut de lav dafra mishum okmata de okimna ha anan ella me matmitin gufa siua kede prishit the ain derech la mi darko.
Whoa, that's hold on, that's a loaded line, which is not clear what it means. Masnisen de ukimna bachutz. The old Asher Hamil said the itmar and the kaman, masnisen de ukimna bachutz, the lav davka mishum ukimta de ukimna masnisen. Elami masnisen gufa siyura kideprecious. So what does he mean by that line? It's a hard line. And when the Gemara says later, the Mishnah that we were mokim bachutz, it's not. I'm not sure, what does he mean by this?
Maybe that we find other places where the Gemara necessarily sounds like it's narrowing himself into chutz, but really doesn't mean it.
It sounds like he's saying that when we say we made an ukimta bachutz, it's not because we made an ukimta. For the Mishnah itself, it's compelling, for the precious. I don't know what the prophet, I know what he says. I just don't know, so where did he... I'm not sure what he's accomplishing by this line, but even more importantly,
the first time he brought the Gemara on he says that it's not about Dafka and Dafka Mosa. I think that's what he means.
Yes, but what does it mean? Elami Masnisan Gufa Siyua Kedeprecious.
All the Gemara they really needed was the fact that it was a Shiwa. It doesn't mean that it was called Dafka.
That's good. That's correct, I think. So, in other words, it's lav dafka that we made in ukimta, it's just named from the fact that it was a shir. It's not the ukimta of chutz versus almanas, it's that there's a shir. Okay. And then finally he says, ve'in derech, go ahead, I'll finish, thank you, Jake, well done. Ve'in derech lahamid, darko shirabenu zal vagon of shikasru kain. It is hard to defend the position of the Rith and the Gaonim who explain against what I've said. Ela shenomar the Amorai Basrai Sabri the Amanas Kosher Vein Tolim Svarazel Vemishvasenu Sabri the Rav Yosi Aglilu the Machshava Misvar the Nafshai Amirachi. So basically he thinks that if you're going to adopt the Rith's position, which you're based since the Tanaim clearly don't agree, some of the time don't agree with it, is that the Rabbanon hold that Almanas is kosher, and they basically put that into the Mishnah, even though it's not explicit, and they hold that Rabbi Yosef Glu is machshir, but it's really Sfar de Nafshai, right, which is kind of a, it's not, I don't think it's that they didn't invent the distinction, fine, between the two, because Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda already has it, but basically the Mishnah doesn't really have it, and you're going to have to say that the Amorim, the Gemara Bafehei, is really kind of pushing that into the Mishnah. Okay. Fine. So we're not going to read further than that. The next part, the Hayomanas, is the Tibarli part, which we didn't do the Ramban, but the other Rishonim say the same thing. I just want to make one note that I sent in a private email to Drake and Shami, but they asked a very good question, which is, why does the Gemara reject, by Rabbi Akiva's case of Manzeris, why do they say that if it's by Chutz, how can it be by Chutz? Because Rabbi Eliezer permits by Chutz. So they pointed out very well that not only can it not be bachutz because then the marriage of the second guy dissolves the marriage anyway and it's fine, but even Naniach that it didn't dissolve the marriage, so still she's divorced Lagabe everybody else. She just committed adultery with this second guy, right? But the children from the first husband wouldn't be Manzerim because she still divorced Lagabe the first husband when it's a chutz case, not Amanas. So they said, why did the Gemara have to say that? So the Ramban says exactly that. The Gemara says, oh, they could have, it's only because it's parallel to earlier, but in a Hanami they could have given you a teretz. So the Ramban really does give the teretz that they gave. So that was the, if you understood, that was the email that I actually sent you guys. Okay.